Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. We're in a series in 1 John on knowing that you believe, that ye may know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life. That's what we're here for. It's all about 1 John writing that you may know that you have eternal life. It's knowable. You should know. It's something that you shouldn't have any confidence in yourself, but it's confidence in God that you know that you have it. And I talked about a deed and a title a couple weeks. You know this is mine. I got it right here. This is mine. God wants you to know when you're saved so that you have joy and peace and confidence and hope. Is that right? And be secure, not in yourself, not pridefully, but in Him. And it's so, so important. Last couple weeks we've been hitting this, to know salvation. First of all, you got to know salvation. Just real quickly, you got to know about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He's the God-man. You can't be saved without Jesus. You can't be saved without Jesus. You can't be saved without the truthfulness of the Father, that He's holy and He's trustworthy. You've got to know that it's all about Jesus, and then Father God in the Bible, He's trustworthy, He is holy, and He is the one. He gives us salvation. And then salvation from Jesus, the truthful one, is forgiveness. Isn't forgiveness wonderful? I'm not going to go into it, but I could preach every sermon on forgiveness because it's wonderful to be forgiven and live forgiven. And that forgiveness gives us life. We're not going to die. We're going to have life forever and now. And that life gives us joy. Salvation is about joy. So the product is joy. And so many times we forget that. If you're not careful, it's just old hat. Is that right? And if you're not careful, your marriage, your job, the home you live in, you need to get excited about all of those things every day. The joy. And you realize it's all about Jesus. It's all about trusting His truthfulness, and then I'm forgiven, and I'm not going to die in hell. I'm going to live forever, and I'm going to live now, and that should give me joy because He's my Savior. That's knowing salvation. During February 14th, we had love. No love. We have a God that loves us. He is love. Is that right? His whole essence. And this one that is love loves me. I'm loved by God. And you go, wow, that's wonderful to say, I am loved. And you realize that. Since I know that, then I can love God back. I can start being selfless and serving and enjoying and walking with God. I can start loving Him back because He first loved me. And then I can love truth. I can love His Word. I can fall in love with His Word because it comes alive through me living it and obeying it. And then I can love people. Is that the big thing of 1 John? Don't just talk about it. Do it. Do it. Go visit that person. Go care for that person. Go help that person. Go speak comfort to that person. Go pray for that person. Don't just talk about it. Do it. That's knowing love. Knowing love. And then the next was that we know assurance. This was last week. That we know assurance. Everybody turn to chapter 3, 1 John, verse 19 to 21. These are great verses. I don't want you to miss this because I ended on it last week. Knowing assurance is, it's all about Him. It's not about me. He's the Creator. Is that right? He's the Creator, and I know that. And He is the Father God. He can comfort and protect. He's my Father. And then He's righteous. It's all about His righteousness. I'm not righteous. He's righteous. See, I know that. And that's how I get assurance. And then He gives me the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go into that a little bit more this morning. I know the Holy Spirit. He's in me and He's alive. He convicts me, comforts me. He's alive. And then I know Christ is returning. He said so, and I can have hope. Aren't you glad you can pray and say, "Come, Jesus, today"? Is that right? You realize, boy, I have people say, "Boy, I wish you'd come today." That we have that hope. And that we, then it says that we will be like Him in 1 John. And you go, wow, don't quite understand that one. And then it says He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He knows all about me. Does He keep all the records of my efforts to do right? My efforts to love people? Does it always happen the way you plan it? No. But He knows your heart and He will reward you. And this gives you great assurance. I trust you're in 1 John 3:19. 1 John 3 verse 19. Everybody there. I hit this last week. Most important verses I've found thus far in 1 John jumped at me afresh. And hereby, it just talked about in verse 18, don't just say you love people, do it, deeds and truth. And then says, and hereby, by you loving people in reality, practically, we know that we are of the truth. God lives in me, and I know Him, and He knows me, and shall assure our hearts before Him. He's in here. He's alive. He is loving through me to these people. And that's not natural to me. And I see that I've changed. And you realize, wow. Then verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, if our heart says to us, you don't deserve it, you might act like it today, but you didn't act like it yesterday. And our heart condemn us. And you don't have it. You're not perfect. If our heart condemn us, I love this verse. God is what? Greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. We're saved by grace, not by our actions, not by our perfection. And it's so wonderful that all of these things I've just brought up, what saves us, and then it starts living in our lives. Yes, we're not perfect, but by gummies, we're not what we used to be. And we should feel good about that and realize that, you know, you're saved because you're starting to love, and it's selflessness, and it's not you, it's Christ coming through you. But if your conscience or your heart starts pounding you and say, well, you're not perfect. You've done this, this, and this. He says, folks, put that aside. Because once you see the Holy Spirit start working in you, you should know for sure you're saved. He's at work in me, and I'm not the old person. I'm the new person, and He's at work in me. And it says, verse 21, it says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, that's even better, then we have confidence towards God. And we realize, I'm saved. I'm saved. There was a time that I struggled with it, and then I realized God's in my life, and He's coming out of my life, and I'm loving people that aren't lovely, and I am loving my enemy. And I should, used to be I would say this, and I haven't said that for a while. Used to be I would respond this way and haven't responded that way. Used to be I was revengeful and getting even and covetousness and all that. And I see so less of that. No, I'm not perfect by no means, but I tell you, I'm not what I used to be, so it's Jesus in me. And I'm not perfect. My heart will condemn me sometimes of my imperfection, but I'm saved. Do you have to grab that? Each of us have to grab that really good, because do we act like it all the time? Do we deserve it? Are we perfect? No. He's perfect, and He saved me, and I'm in His stead, and I got it. I got it. I don't deserve it, but I have it. 1 John was written that you might know you have eternal life. And this passage here is so good. I love that. 1 John 3:19, 20, and 21. When your heart condemns you, hey, God is greater than our heart. He's in me and He's alive. Isn't that good? That'd make a dead Baptist shout. Anybody gonna say amen? Okay, okay. Amen or old me. Now we're into the abide. I love the abide. This is so neat. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. We've already read it, but I want you to see it again. Everybody look at it there. Look up here. Let that therefore abide in you. You got to let it. It's a choice which ye have heard from the beginning. You've been taught it from Genesis and also from Jesus being here. If, that's another choice word, let, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. I love that. That's the word abide. Ye also shall continue, there's the third word, in the Son and in the Father. You're growing. You not only just see it a little bit, and you see change in your life, you're not what you used to be, and you realize God's in me. I have a desire to pray now. I have a desire to read the Bible now. I have a desire to come to church. I even have a desire to listen to the preacher. I'm not looking at my clock, thinking about, man, we're going to have fried chicken for lunch. Wish he'd get done. You know. You're that verse, that's truth. And it sets you free, and you realize, man, I have my devotions. It's not perfect every day, but last week I was reading in my Bible, and whoa, huh? You realize, I'm saved. And that's what he wants you to know that. Now start abiding. That means you're sticking close. You're just in there. That is, it's growing. All of our plants here, all these plants are dead. They're plastic. I remember the day Dave Kripe was here, and he came up to me one Sunday, and we just put the new ferns. Remember when we used to have the ferns over here, the old ferns? When I first came, they were live, and we had blue windows all over the place, and they would die all the time. Okay, it'd be brown and all that. So I said, so we got fake ones, and they were really nice looking. And Dave come up to me one Sunday, and he says, what fertilizer do you use on those? I said, Dave, they're plastic. Oh, he said. I want you to know, we are to be abiding and growing in Christ. Is that right? Trees out there. You look at a tree out there in the wintertime. Do they look dead? Are they dead? No. We have a plant at our house. We call it our Florida tree. And it's like a palm tree. It only takes water about once every two months. It's the kind of plant that grows at our house. Okay? It looks dead half the time. Okay? It is nothing. This year it has a little sprout coming out. And we can see it grow a little bit. And you realize it's abiding. It's staying true to what it's supposed to be. And it's starting to turn green. And yes, the leaves die on it and fall down. And like all of the palm trees, you got to keep clipping them off as they die on you. But it's alive. And it's abiding. Do you see much going on? No. But boy, it's sure better than it was a year ago. And that's abiding. Abiding is growing, is continuing, is not quitting. Very important. Everybody turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Rich is going to come and read for us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13.
This is so important portion of Scripture that if you don't have your Bible with you, please take advantage of the Red Pew Bible and turn to page 902. 1 John chapter 5. If you have your place, if you could please stand as we honor the Word of God. First John chapter 5, starting in verse 13, the Word of God says this: These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition we desired of him. In verse 18 through the end of the chapter, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. May God honor the reading of his word. You may be seated.
Thank you, Rich. Such good words here, such great words of confidence, that ye may know. God wants you to know you're saved. If you have doubts here this morning, I want you to settle those doubts. I want you to realize that if you have a love for God and a love for people, and if you have a love for his word, and you see some sin stop dropping off your life, and you see God's presence stop coming, you start enjoying it, and you get some confidence and faith when you should be falling apart, God lives in you. And he wants you to know it and to enjoy it and have that confidence that, man, you know, we're supposed to know that we abide in Christ. We're supposed to know this. Verse 20, it says, and we know, 1 John 5, verse 20, that the Son of God is come. We know that. We believe it. That's next week. And hath given us, he's given it to us, grace. He's given it to us, an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, and in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We have this one. We have fellowship with him. We know him. It's just not something that you carry around, that it has no meaning, that it's something you are, and that you don't work at it too good, that you're in that. You know, there are things that he wants you to be confident that you can have a relationship and know him. And the first thing you got to settle in your soul is that you're saved. And once you settle that, it's not prideful. You don't sit down and relax or quit trying. You got your name on the church board. What else you need? I'm saved. Now I can go do anything I want. No. If you're saved, you'll want to walk with him and talk with him and know him more. You'll want to abide, stay close to him and come alive. And we know that by four things here in 1 John. First one is the Holy Spirit. Everybody turn to 1 John 2:27. Most of our texts are in 1 John. Just one text is outside. 1 John 2:27. We know that we have him, and the Holy Spirit abides in us. 1 John 2:27, look at it. But the anointing which you have received. So if you're a believer, you have received the Holy Spirit. You have received of him, abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. He's going to open your mind. You're going to read the Bible, and stuff is going to start clicking in your mind. And you realize it's not you, it's not your mind. It's God talking to you. That's so wonderful. That's how you know you're saved. It's one of the best things. But it says, but, keep reading, 1 John 2:27. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is true, and is no lie. I don't want to spend a lot of time there because it's just simple and it's stated. But it's factual, it's big. And even as it hath taught you, past tense, it teaches you and it has taught you, ye shall. That just, you're continuing. You grab it. You shall abide in him. You realize he's inside of you by the Holy Spirit, helping, guiding, teaching, comforting, convicting, correcting. It's wonderful. And then now you abide in him. You stay close to him. You stay connected to him. And you have the Holy Spirit. 1 John 3:24. Let's look at this one. 1 John 3:24. And he that keepeth his commandments, there's the abiding, keepeth, dwelleth in him, and he in him, And it says, because we keep his commandment, we start obeying the Bible. Hereby, because of that obedience, we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. It repeats it. Hope you understand that we have this power in us, that he's in us, and as we read the Bible, he talks to us as we start living through life. He guides us and helps us, and you'll notice that it's just not you living, it's the Holy Spirit in you, and he's comforting, guiding, convicting, correcting, convincing, and it's wonderful. Hope you experience that, because to do that, you know you're saved. And you, he's with you. He's abiding with you. He remains in you. He's stuck in you. Now you go with him. I'm going to start listening to the Spirit. I'm going to stop listening to my flesh. I'm going to let God lead me. I'm going to trust him instead of worrying all over the place, because the Holy Spirit is in me. Number two is built on that, and it is when we start abiding by getting back up more than staying down in our sins. Now read that a couple times. This is in 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. You start abiding. Because sin tempts you all the time, huh? And some sins are just, man, they're hard. And you fail and you fall and you slip and you sin. But you start getting up. Huh? You start getting up, you're abiding. You don't have to stay down anymore. I have the Holy Spirit in me. I have the Word of God to me. And here I just sinned, but I can confess that sin. I can make it right to people I did it against. I can be forgiven. I can get back up, and God starts talking to me again and uses me again. And you start, wow, you realize, I don't have to do that sin. And God using you and helping you. And it's one, you're not sinless. You are sinning less. And you realize it. God's in me. You know, wow, that's neat. You know, I think you should keep a journal or a calendar of your sins. And then you'll realize, I'm sinning less. You know, this sin that used to bother me all the time, I've gotten victory over that. You know, I used to do it 10 times a day. Now I only do it once a week. And then all of a sudden, once a month, is that right? And you realize, wow, God's good. And you're starting to get up more than stay down in your troubles. And that's a mark of the Holy Spirit's working in you, and you realize, I can do this. Chapter 2, verse 24 says, let, there's your choice again, that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you and live. You're getting up with it. You're not staying down. Ye shall continue. You're going to start having some consistency in the Son and in the Father. You're choosing right. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. This is a tough verse. Everybody look at it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. A true Christian abides. You might fall down, but you what? You get back up. And a person that just can sin all the time, if you just can sin and it doesn't convict you, and if you can do wrong, you can say things wrong, go places wrong, do things wrong, and it doesn't convict you, I want you to know you're not saved. But if you start realizing, wow, I can't live that way. And this person, it just says, this person claimed to be Christian, but then they started walking away and they went away from him. And he says, they didn't have it. They never had it. They didn't lose it. They just never had it. And it says, but if you're a Christian, you abide. You get back up. And you realize the Holy Spirit's in you and he helps you get back up. Chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. Look at it. Chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. He that saith, here's a person that claims to be a Christian, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a what?
And the truth is not in him. Verse 5, whosoever keepeth, that's continue, that's abide, keepeth his word, in him verily, truly is the love of God perfected, revealed, seen. You showing Jesus love by how you love. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk as he walks. It's exciting. You're starting to look like Jesus and act like Jesus. Oh, you're not perfect, but you realize, man, God's in me. And you know you're saved, you're abiding, and it's wonderful to catch that. The third one here is when we start consistently bearing abiding fruit. Keep your place in 1 John, we're coming right back. Go to John chapter 15, the other text in John's writing that has the word abide more than any other text. John chapter 15, verse 4. Everybody go there. John chapter 15, verse 4. It is about bearing fruit. And when we start consistently bearing abiding fruit, when people start noticing, you don't talk like you used to. You don't act like you used to. You don't respond like you used to. You don't love what you used to. Is that right? You're bearing some fruit. And the fruit in here in 1 John chapter 15, verse 4. John 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. Catch this. As the branch, talking about a tree, cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, grapes. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. If you stick close to me, God will start producing fruit of the Spirit in you that will just amaze you. It'll come out of you and you realize, whoa, God's in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my word, number 1, abides in you. Catch that. Okay? The word starts coming alive. You start appreciating. You start reading it. That's why we're called a Bible church. That's why we push you to read the scriptures on the chapters that we're reading on Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Sunday school, the Word of Life clubs. Is that right? We're Bible people. The Bible's got to come alive. We have Christianity today that the Bible's not important. That's false Christianity. The Bible's got to be important. And you got to realize it's the book. Well, it's hard to read. Well, read it. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. And it comes alive. It's wonderful. Isn't it wonderful when the Bible comes alive? Isn't it wonderful when you're reading it and all of a sudden it pops in your mind? It jumps and you realize, boy, it's great. Secondly, we obey it. Verse 10, it says, if ye keep my commandments, ye abide in me. Verse 10 there, John chapter 15. You're keeping, you're obeying. And not only are you reading and studying and it's jumping, it's teaching, it's guiding you, it's convicting you, it's giving you confidence and hope, you're also starting to obey it. And you realize, wow, this is nice. And then thirdly is your prayers are being answered. Look at it. Verse 7, it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Do you know if you pray right? If you live right, study right, abide right, you'll pray right. And God will answer your prayers. And when God starts answering your prayers, isn't it wonderful to have prayers answered? That's what it's. Don't shy away from praying. We just pray little prayers. Why don't we pray big prayers? Dave's been praying for his dad, and those are big prayers. Once you see a miracle happen, it's wonderful. I was at Carol's last night, and she was wondering if God was going to have answer her prayers. And when you're in those situations, you have two prayers: God, either heal them or take them home. And we should pray. So many times we pray comfortable prayers or safe prayers.
You need to pray some. What's the biggest prayer you ever ask? What's the biggest thing you ever ask of God? Most miraculous thing. We pray too small. He says, folks, if I'm in you and your words in me, in you, coming alive, when you start thinking the Bible, you'll start praying the Bible. And you'll not pray your own selfish ways. You'll start praying right. And you'll see prayers get answered. And then we realize the fourth thing is joy. Verse 11, it says, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy, Jesus' joy, might remain in you, might abide in you, continue in you, that your joy might be full. That's the purpose of it. That's the purpose of it. And you say, that's wonderful. It's wonderful to know that God's with you. He's in you. He's working on you. He's teaching you, guiding you, answering your prayers, helping you obey, opening the Bible to you. And then you realize that produces joy. The greatest response of the Christian life and on this side of heaven is joy. Don't live without it. Fight for it. Do we lose it a lot? Yes. Oh, 10, 20 times a day. But I'm going to go find it. My flesh gets weak and I fall. I'm going to get back up and grab joy. Because God is with me. And that is so, so important that we grasp that. Fourthly, let's just jump over to the 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. These are a choice again. You abide, you remain, you continue. Let it, if, do it, do it. And then finally, we are on victory. I love this. Finally, number four. When we start claiming more abiding victory in Christ. These are some hard verses here. Strap on your boots and let's run through them. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Everybody, 1 John. We're back in 1 John. All of these are in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's faith. It's grace. Who is he that overcometh? Used three times the word overcometh. The world is he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is victory here. This is a person that start living a life who's claiming victory. And you should be abiding and he should be getting closer to you. You should be getting closer to him. You're not perfect, but it should be happening. Is that right? And it's really neat to realize. I'm starting to act like God in some areas. Don't ever get the big head. Don't ever get the big head. Because take heed lest you what? You fall. You need him in everything. But there should be some victory. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. This is a heavy verse. It's one of the key themes of 1 John. That unbelievers sin and believers don't sin. Now, the King James uses doesn't show you that it's in a continuous sense here. The King James says, 1 John 3, 6, it says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Just, man, so if you're a Christian, you don't sin. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. Now this word sinneth here is in a continuous sense, and it just means that he keeps on sinning or he keeps from sinning. It's a practice. It's a life. This man, if he's a true Christian, can't sin and sin and sin and sin and sin. Because if he can do that, he's not a Christian.
That's right.
But if you're a Christian, when you do sin, it bothers you and you deal with it. You might play with it for a couple days or weeks or months. Is that right? But you're convicted the whole time and you can't do it. And it says a true believer can't just keep sinning all the time. He can't have the habit of sin or the practice of sin because a true believer does not keep on sinning. That's 1 John. And it's so important that they continue this lifestyle. That's worth the word abiding. You start walking with God. You start enjoying the Holy Spirit. You start enjoying reading the Bible. You start enjoying praying and getting answers. You start enjoying some truth being applied to your life and your words get better and your attitude and your anger gets better and your pride gets better. Is that right? Then he says, folks, there's another step. It's called victory. It's called abiding. It's called staying close and getting close. I want you to know that in the power of the Holy Spirit,
in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, it says you have everything in you that you can live for faith and godliness. Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, we can walk with Him. Only things hindering us is our flesh. And oh, do we have a pile of flesh. But we can abide. And the key is when flesh raises its head and you yield to it and sin, as quickly as you can, admit it, confess it, forsake it, get back up. And you can live in the spirit, you go down to the flesh, live to the flesh, you can stay there for 20 seconds or you can stay there for 20 minutes or 20 hours. Is that right? As a believer, you can come back up and start getting victory. Is that right? It's just like your heartbeat. Is that right? Now, you're never going to be perfect this side of heaven. That's why you need God all the time. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. But you can start getting victory. As you're getting older in Christ, you can realize your sins of your mouth and your sins of your hands and your sins of your feet are getting less. Is that right? The sins of your heart are still there. Pride starts. Ooh, you got to fight it every day. But you can start getting victory, and it's wonderful. You start rising, and you start walking, and you start enjoying God, and you realize, wow, this is wonderful. I'm abiding. I'm overcoming. I'm seeing some victory with Jesus' help and the brothers and sisters praying for me and coming to church and getting encouragement. Amen? You start getting victory over these issues, and you realize, I'm going to start walking in the Spirit. And then you fall flat on your face 10, 20 times a day, but you get up and you realize it's wonderful up here. It's wonderful. And you say, thank you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, another powerful verse. John ends here. He's rolling the end. He's ending his book. And we read those, and that's why it's so good. Ending the book here. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, everybody look, everybody, teenagers, everybody. 1 John 5:18, he's closing the book on knowing you're saved. We know, verse 18, that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, doesn't practice sin, doesn't continue to sin, doesn't habitually sin, doesn't sin and not bothered by it. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Now, God's helping you. You don't do it by yourself. God's help. But you start being a victor. You're victory. And the wicked one toucheth him not. He can't control you. He can't grab you. He's limited. He has to have permission. He can't have you. He can't destroy you. Isn't that great? If the devil tempts you, all you have to do is resist the devil and he'll what? That's all you have to do, and it's wonderful. He'll still tempt you, but you keep resisting him. And temptation isn't sin. Temptation is the map and the road to victory. You get tempted by a proud thought or a jealous thought or a lustful thought, and you don't yield to it. You just got victory. And that's, wow, isn't God good? So that's why he left all of that temptation, so you could have victory. And it says, verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in the Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. He ends the book. Aren't you glad I'm at the end? He ends the book, 1 John 5:21, last verse. Why do you think this verse is here? You got to think. He's summarizing the whole book. He's putting it in one little phrase. Little children, we got to always remember that if it wasn't for God, we'd all be sinning all over the place. Little children. Yeah, you're not an adult child. You've not learned to walk in with God perfectly. You still need my help as a father. Is that right? Little children, remember that you can fall and fail very easily. Is that right? Remember that. Don't forget it. Your flesh is there, ever present. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Anything that looks like God. Anything getting close to God.
Keep yourself from sin. Keep yourself from your flesh. Abide. Is that right? Stay close to me. Keep in step with me. Come on. Keep in your Bible. Let it live when preacher of the Bible is not speaking to you. Read deeper. Pray harder. And spend more time in it. Today we are being pushed by all the media and all of the games that we play, and we spend too much time in all that stuff. You got to spend time in the book for God to talk with you. Well, preacher, God don't talk. How much time do you read the Bible? 5 minutes a day. How much time do you watch TV? 10 hours a day. What's being fed? Your flesh. Why aren't you having victory? Because you are not in the Spirit. He wants you to walk in the Spirit. Read your Bible. When you have time to do that in the morning, make time for it. Meditate on it all through the day. Look for Him to answer your prayer. Every time you see a problem, pray. Is that right? Every time something pops up, a temptation, grab God and have the victory over it and get victory all through the day. When somebody's in need, pray for them. Put your arm around them. Love on them. Care for them. Help them. Is that right? Your whole day should be involved in that. You realize, I'm walking with God. Oh, I have to go to work and I have to do this. I have to do this at home. I got to do this with the children. I got to do this. I got to go here. But God's with me. God's with me. God's with me. And I'm with God. I'm abiding. That's what He wants you to do. Walk with me. Take me wherever you go. Read the Bible as much as you can. Don't just sit down and do nothing. Don't just get involved in all the stuff of the world. We have things of this world right now. All the stuff of this world is great time wasters. Is that true? Trivia. Oh, He wants you on truth. Teenager, fill your mind with truth. And it comes alive. It sets you free. It gives you joy. It gives you victory. It gives you purpose. Spend your time helping others, blessing others, praying for others, encouraging others, helping others. Do your job, but you're touching people all the time. And remember, you're the light of the world. And God's with you. He lives in you. And He abides with you. Abide with Him. It's good stuff. We close with 1 John 2:24 again. Put that up again. 1 John 2:24, that's the last one. It just says, let that therefore abide in you. Let it. Which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which is you've heard from the beginning remains in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Abide. Remain. Continue. Have victory. When you fall down, what? Get up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Where are you today? Preacher, I'm gaining assurance of my salvation. I am realizing that I am saved for sure forever. God is in my life, and I am just gaining great confidence, not in me, but in Him. And I'm settling this issue that I'm saved for sure forever because He abides in me. He abides in me. I know He's alive in me. This has really been good for me to settle this issue that I am saved and safe in the arms of Jesus. He won't let me go. I'm His child. How many say, preacher, the Lord is really helping me with that issue? Can I see your hand? Can I see your hand? Amen. 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 Many hands. Many hands. You got to grab this issue. It's not you. It's Him. He saved you. You're saved by grace. He saved you. Not you. He lives in you. When you see Him coming out of you, it's wonderful. You realize, I'm His child. And you need to settle that issue because the doubts will rise and you're not perfect by no means and you slip and fall and sin and do stupid stuff. But you're still saved. You're still saved. Because He doesn't quit abiding. If you're here this morning and you settled that issue, but oh, you need to abide. You need to abide so much you have joy. Your day is full of joy, even though terrible things happen to you, around you, and even though you do some of those things. You can still confess them, forsake them, get back up, give them to God. Don't worry or fret. Don't revenge. Give them to God and get back to victory, abiding
walking in Him, trusting, confidence in what He's doing through you and around you. And you just get that abiding. Preacher, pray for me that I abide in Him to victory. Can I see your hands? Can I see your hands? Can I see your hands? Amen. 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 If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, man, what a time to get saved. Preacher, I need God in my life. I need Jesus in my life. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I need to have Him helping me. It's just me, and I'm failing and falling, and I got so much of the world in me. I need to get Jesus in me. I need to ask Him to forgive me my sins and trust Him as my Savior, repent and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord and Master, and get walking with Him. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just you, me, and God. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I see a hand? I would love to pray for you. I will not embarrass you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Pray for me. Can I see a hand? Pray for me. I trust everybody knows they're saved. I want you to abide all the way to victory. And when you fall down, get back up. Because that's where the joy is. And that's where the abiding is. And that's where He wanted you to live. Because you can abide. You can know Him. You can, little children, with the Spirit's power, keep yourselves from sinning. Do it. Fight for it. And you'll have joy. My joy shall become your joy. Trust you, get filled with the joy of Jesus, because that's what knowing you're saved does. It's wonderful to know to have salvation, but it's another one to have confidence that He's going to stick with me, and I'm going to start sticking with Him, and He's in my life. Lord bless you. Bless you.